Off and rolling with a brand new week. Happy Monday, 19 days away from kickoff in Atlanta between Auburn and Baylor. It's getting real now. We only have one more Saturday to go to fill before college football starts. And a lot of people are starting high school football this weekend. It's great. Team is back from camp and starting classes today. Classes have started on campus and a lot of other places. And so just another one of those markers that we are getting closer. It's a solo Vice today. Zach is handling some important family business, and so we believe that he'll be back tomorrow. And so we'll go solo today. The AP poll came out. We held the show a little longer so that AP poll could come out. We could react to that a little bit. This is not going to be your standard, should they have been ranked higher or lower, or who's ranked too high, who's ranked too low, or should Auburn have been in. This is not that. This is looking at the AP poll and playing a couple of games. First, how important is a returning quarterback for a team's projection at the beginning of the year? Because looking at this year's preseason AP poll, that question will be up in the air. Looks important in some cases, and in some cases, not so much. But I want to start with Auburn's October schedule. All four opponents that Auburn faces in October are ranked in the preseason top 25. You have Tennessee, which is ranked 20th, Georgia, which is ranked 3rd, LSU, which is 11th, and Ole Miss, 9th. The only other preseason top 25 team that Auburn faces is Alabama, and they're ranked 13th to start the year. So I'm sort of assuming that most of you have seen the AP poll. We're not going to go through it five at a time or talk about who's ranked where, because I think, you know, everybody's had a chance to, you can just go look, you can find it. But here's what, here's a game. Let's play you and me today. Will Auburn's opponents be ranked higher or lower than their preseason ranking when Auburn faces that opponent? All right, let's start with Tennessee. That's the first opponent in October, and they're ranked 20th. Will they be higher or lower than 20th when October 3rd rolls around? Here's their schedule before. They got Furman at Georgia Tech, home to Kennesaw State, and home against Texas. And if they go 4-0 in that span, they're obviously going to be ranked higher than 20th. They'll be ranked higher than 20th. Won't they probably going into the Texas game? Like, do you like Tennessee to go win at Georgia Tech? Let's say they don't win at Georgia Tech, then conventional wisdom would say they're probably not going to beat Texas. And so they'd be 2-2 when Auburn goes to Neyland Stadium. Depending on what Auburn's done to start the year, that's a chance for even more momentum, but that's not the game we're playing, right? It's will they be ranked higher or lower? I'm going to put in a prediction, for what it's worth, that Tennessee will be ranked lower than 20th, lower than 20th when Auburn goes to Knoxville. How about Georgia? Georgia's ranked 3rd in this preseason top 25. Will they be higher or lower than 3rd? Well, let's look at their schedule. What tests do they have before Auburn goes to Athens? Georgia has Tennessee State, Western Kentucky, at Arkansas, home against Oklahoma, home against Vanderbilt, and then at Alabama. Oklahoma's ranked in the preseason top 25. Alabama's ranked in the preseason top 25. If they lose to Oklahoma or Alabama, I don't think Vanderbilt's going to go in there and get them. But could Oklahoma? Could they lose at Alabama in their 5th game before Auburn goes to Athens? They could. I don't think I'm going to predict them to, though. I don't think Ohio State and Oregon lose before that, so I'm going to say they're going to stay 3rd. Ohio State and Oregon have a couple of tests before then. They could be higher. Is it a greater if my only two options are higher or lower? I guess I'll go higher. I think there's a better chance that Ohio State or Oregon slip up in their games, which would allow Georgia to move up, than the odds that Georgia slips up and falls below three. So I'll say if I've got to choose higher or lower, that Georgia will be higher than three when Auburn goes to Athens. For fun, Auburn could be in the top 25 too. If the Tigers start 5-0, now all of a sudden you've got all the eyes on that matchup, even more than they already would be. How about LSU? How about LSU on the, what would that be, the 24th? LSU ranked 11th in the preseason poll. Are they higher or lower than that by the time Auburn hosts LSU? Again, we'll look at their schedule to see. LSU's got Clemson right away, opening weekend, but they got them in Baton Rouge. Then they have Louisiana Tech. They're at Ole Miss. They host Texas A&M. Then they have McNeese, Kentucky, and Mississippi State. What record would LSU have in their first six games to be higher than 11? I don't think they could be 5-2. I think you might. I mean, you could be 5-1 because you'll have a couple of really quality wins. Unless Clemson, maybe they beat Clemson. Clemson falls off. That's not as impressive. I don't know. There's so many new pieces, and they're talented pieces. LSU went out in the offseason, and they got more than Sam Leavitt. They got three quality quarterbacks. Lane Kiffin knows how to get more than one quality quarterback on his roster. They went out and got quality offensive linemen. They got playmakers on defense. So I could see them starting 4-2 or 5-1, but I think the odds are better probably with all those new pieces that they're 4-2. I think the odds are better that they're 3-3 than they are 5-1, if that makes sense. So I will say LSU will be ranked lower than 11th when they come to Auburn. What do you think? And now finally, Ole Miss. Ole Miss preseason number 9. Will they be higher or lower than 9? And like my first thought is lower. How could they be higher than 9? Let's look at their schedule and see. What kind of wins or what kind of loss opportunities do you have as the preseason number 9 team in order to fall from that spot? Well, they play Louisville on opening weekend. Then they got Charlotte. Then they host LSU. Then they go at Florida, at Vandy, home Missouri, at Texas. That, because it's 3 out of 4 on the road, regardless of the teams that you're playing, 3 of 4 on the road in the SEC, and do they have a bye in there? Yeah, they have a bye between Florida and Vanderbilt. So still, 3 road games in 5 weeks, 3 road games in 4 games, at Florida, at Vandy, home Missouri, at Texas, and then Auburn comes into Oxford. I think that's a lot to ask of Ole Miss to still be ranked as high as 9. Now, if you stack some really good wins, there's a chance you could climb up. You know, you get credit for those wins, you climb to 6 or 7, but you know, one of those losses probably drops you down, and I think people might look for reasons to drop Ole Miss this year, despite their All-American backfield. And they've got talent elsewhere. They went out and they added a lot of pieces defensively. They weren't afraid to spend money in the portal, and they continued to go that route. That was kind of the Lane Kiffin route. Pete Golding's come in. He's taken the same strategy of adding big-time pieces in the portal. So their defense should be good, should be quality. I don't know if I buy 9. I don't know if I buy that they'll still be 8 or 9 by the time Auburn goes to Oxford. So what do you think? Would love to read your comments and find out what you think about the October gauntlet for Auburn. And another fun question, let's get out of October. Alabama's number 13 in the preseason. When Auburn goes to Tuscaloosa, will Alabama be higher or lower than 13? I think they'll be lower. Today's show brought to you in part by Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika. Beat the heat. This, I think, is our hottest week of the year, maybe the hottest 2 weeks of the year coming up as we close out August. If you've not visited our friends at Precision Tune Auto Care, they have locations in Opelika. There's one in Columbus. Pass that one on the way there this weekend. Right now, go in, say beat the heat. Tell them you listen to Village Vice or The Barn, and you'll get a free AC performance evaluation, free system pressure test, free vent temperature analysis, plus $50 off AC repairs, over $300. Precision Tune Auto Care. They're open early. They will take care of you. They show you pictures and videos of the things that need to be addressed in your vehicle, so you are informed the entire time. Go see them. Want to spend the back half of today's episode on returning quarterbacks. And I'm always interested to see which teams are given credit for having a returning quarterback in the preseason top 25, and which teams are penalized for not having a returning quarterback, and which teams it just doesn't matter if they have a returning quarterback or not. But it seems to be, as best looking over the top 25, it seems that 15 of the 25 have returning quarterbacks. And right up there at the top of the list are all five of the top, all five top five preseason teams: Ohio State, Oregon, Georgia, Notre Dame, and Texas have top five quarterbacks coming back. If Fernando Mendoza were coming back to Indiana, they'd probably be preseason number one, right? A returning national champion with a returning quarterback. As it is, Indiana's six because they have a new quarterback to their system. Now, he has experience. Josh Hoover has experience. He's played well, and he's in a proven, effective system. He's not Fernando Mendoza, but still they get credit for all the other pieces. They get credit for what's been built there. Kurt Cignetti has equity. And so the top team without a returning starting quarterback is the defending national champion. I think that makes sense. Miami does not have a returning starter at quarterback. They're seven. Marcel Reed at eight. Trinidad Chambliss at nine. John Mateer at 10. Clearly, there are some teams, but there's not really a pattern. It's not like you front-load the teams with returning starting quarterbacks in the preseason top 25. And then, well, we have a few questions. Like LSU, Sam Leavitt, is he healthy? If not, who's the guy? They have talent there. They have talent at other places. But they're not penalized for having a new quarterback. Texas Tech is not penalized for having a new quarterback with a ranking of 12. Alabama is not penalized for not having a returning quarterback with a ranking of 13. Michigan's really interesting. With a coaching change, and Bryce Underwood is back. He didn't start every game for him last year, but like, is Michigan at 16? Are they penalized because they had a coaching change, or would they be lower were it not Kyle Whittingham taking over? Penn State's interesting. Penn State at 18 had as much turnover as any other roster in college football, from James Franklin, the head coach, right on down. So they lost an NFL quarterback. They lost their head coach. They had a lot of guys leave. And Matt Campbell's a good coach, but preseason 18? That was interesting to me. New quarterback there, obviously. New quarterback at Tennessee. And I think this is a lot of equity for Josh Heupel and his offensive system. This is, quite frankly, I think what's happening with Tennessee and Josh Heupel is what happened with Auburn and Gus Malzahn for a few years. Because Auburn, typically under Gus Malzahn, was going to be in your preseason top 25 because there was so much respect nationally for that offensive acumen, for the resume, for what they had done previously, that even with a new quarterback or new offensive line or new feature tailback or whatever, you were going to get there. They got the Gus bump. I think you've got that at Tennessee. This is a high-powered offensive scheme. And, you know, they've won eight or nine games pretty consistently, been to the playoff once under that staff in Knoxville, and they get the bump with the preseason top 20 ranking despite not having a returning quarterback. Then you've got, you know, Louisville 24, Missouri at 25. I think there's a lot of respect there for the running game and the defense. Once you get to 25, there are a whole bunch of teams there that are jumbled and it could just kind of be separated by a point here or a point there. But, you know, 15 of the top 25 are returning quarterbacks. 10 of the top 25 are not. And there doesn't appear to be a lot of, so like, is a returning quarterback vital to your preseason rankings? Doesn't appear so. It's kind of hit and miss. As we close out the show today, by the way, Auburn got 3 votes in the preseason top 25. Auburn is behind teams like Virginia Tech, UNLV. Auburn's behind UNLV. That's interesting. That's interesting. UNLV won 10 games last year. But that's still very interesting. Clemson's just on the outside looking in. They're number 26. Florida right behind Clemson. Some other notables. South Carolina got 10 votes. Vanderbilt got 8 votes. Georgia Tech got 4. Liberty got 1. Western Michigan got 1. Tulane got 1 in the post-John Summerall era of the Green Wave. So that's some top 25 conversation. What offense and quarterback would you rather have? Like, at what point in the top 25? This will be the last couple of minutes on the show today. We'll wrap things up. Again, a Zachless Village Vice today. But as you look at the top 25, what quarterback and scheme pairing would you rather have? Would you rather have Auburn's or Oregon's? Auburn or Ohio State? Let's go beyond the top 10. Let's say outside the top 10. Not because I'd rather have all of the top 10, but just in the interest of moving the conversation along. To be clear, I take Auburn's quarterback and offensive scheme any day of the week. I'm as happy with Auburn as I would be with anybody else's that you could find on this list. Where do you as a fan, would you rather have LSU's quarterback and scheme situation or Auburn's? I take Auburn's. Would you rather have Texas Tech's, Alabama's, BYU, USC, Michigan, Washington, Penn State, SMU, Tennessee? I know, again, look, a team is not one player. One player is not a team. You have to have the whole thing. You got to have the backs, the receivers, the line, the tight end, the defense, the special teams. You got to have all of it. But just quarterback and scheme, I'm liking Auburn more than a lot of the preseason top 25. Utah, Iowa, Houston, Louisville, Missouri. People continue to sleep on Byron Brown. We won't see maximum Byron Brown at any point in fall camp. At any point, we won't see maximum Byron Brown at Auburn until the Baylor game. That's exciting. And it doesn't matter what scrimmage highlight he has, it's still not going to be maximum Byron Brown until the lights are on and the field's painted for real, and the scoreboards operate like it's when it's all real. That's when we finally see maximum Byron Brown. And he gets to start making a believer out of everybody who's not already a believer, and he's already got a lot of them, but there's still a lot that are doubting. There's still a lot that have questions. I look at this top 25, and I wouldn't trade places with a lot of teams. Wouldn't do it. This scheme, proven effective, proven potent and productive. And this quarterback, a proven productive winner. I'll take that. Please consider joining the show. I don't think we're going to have a post show today. The schedule is going to get in the way of that. I'll take the soft jokes as much as possible. It's kind of a crazy week, but we'll be back at it. We expect Zach to be back tomorrow again, handling some important family business today. We support that 100%, and look forward to having Zach back with us very soon. So please consider subscribing at the very least. And if you're subscribed, thank you. We appreciate that. We don't take it for granted. Would you consider becoming a member? You can do it for as low as, I think, $5 a month, and you get post shows when we have them, which is usually every day, again, other than today, 4 days a week anyway. Plus, you get afternoon delight. You get commitment videos. There'll be some film analysis once the games start. That takes a little more precedent over. You just get more of that than you do commitments on a recruiting trail. So that'll be coming for you, members only. Zach and Christian have the drink reviews, and audience members even participate in those from time to time. So we'd invite you to check that out and all the other stuff that we have going on here at the Barn Top Button Podcast. You got Landing on the Plains with Chandler Wooten. His show is incredible and gets better every single time he puts out a new episode. Plus, there's the Barn Social Hour and all the live barn. There's just a ton going on. So we appreciate you checking it out and being a part of it. And please remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.